back with you again this morning. Every week I get a different kind of drive. One Sunday it's snowing, the next Sunday it's bright, and the next Sunday it's raining. So get a little bit of everything coming down here. Nothing we can do about it. Huh? God's in control. And He's got a reason for it all. You know, as we were singing this morning, I was thinking about one of my favorite scriptures, and you could take this home to the bank. In Philippians 1:6, it says, I'm confident that He who began a good work in me will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you, you know, He keeps working. And I had an old pastor friend of mine, he used to put it this way. He said, it's easier to snuggle than struggle. Does that make sense? Huh? Easier to snuggle than struggle. Sometimes we're struggling and He's just trying to work in us some good work. This morning I want to go back to the book of John. I kind of digressed because I wanted to stay in John while I was here for the four Sundays that I'm scheduled. I want to go back to the book of John. There's seven I Am's. How many of you all know that? There's seven I Am's in the book of John. Anybody know what one of them is? One's on the front of your bulletin, by the way, this morning. First scripture I learned when I was young in the faith. I am the vine, you are the branches, He that abideth in me, right? The same shall bear much fruit. And then the good news is, for without me you can do what? Not a thing. Nothing. Nada. That's the good news, you know, because God wants to work in us, His perfection, so He gets the glory, so we don't. I heard a preacher say one Sunday, he left the pulpit and he got back to the back, and one of the older ladies ran back there to meet him. She wanted to tell him, she says, that was the greatest sermon I think I've ever heard, and I wanted to be the first to tell you. She says, oh, but you weren't the first. The devil already told me. Isn't that right? That's how we get sometimes. We put ourselves before God. So there's one on the bulletin, like I said, I am the vine, and then there's the one that says, what, I am the bread of life. He that followeth after me, what? Will never hunger. And he that believeth in me will never what? Never thirst. There's one that says, I am the way. And the world doesn't like this passage of scripture today because it's too dogmatic. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but how? By Jesus. He says, I'm the door to the sheepfold. Everyone else that tried to get in any other way to climb over the fence and get into the sheepfold was a thief, a robber, a liar, right? He says, I'm the good shepherd and I love my sheep and I lay down my life for my sheep. What's some of the other ones he has? I'm the good shepherd. He says, I am that I am. Remember what he told the Jews when they confronted him? He said, before Abraham was Yahweh Shua. That's what he said. I am that I am. Wow, that's big, isn't it? That goes back to Exodus 3:14 when Moses said what? He says, I'll go back to Israel or back to Egypt and bring the people out. But who am I going to say sent me? And God said, just I am essentially. You know, that word I am means in the Hebrew, there's really no translation, but the Hebrews always coined it this way. I shall be what I shall be. What do you want Him to be for you today? What do you want Him to be? Today we're going to look at the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I'm the light of the world, didn't He? He said, if you follow after Him, you won't walk in darkness. You can't stumble. You can't trip or fall. Turn with me to John chapter 5, and then we're going to go over to John chapter 11. John chapter 5. Seven I Am's. You know, the number seven in the Bible is a perfect number that represents our perfect Lord and Savior. The completeness. Over in John chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Now, I'm reading this out of the Word of God, so you can't accuse me of making this up, okay? I'm reading this right out of God's Word. He says, Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. You notice that? It says everyone that dies and goes into the ground, in the grave, one day they're going to hear his voice. I don't want to get sidetracked, but there are 7 stages of a resurrection. You can study it yourself sometime. First there is Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first stage of resurrection where we find all of our hope at. Second, there was the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, right? And then there's those who are here, right? At his coming, when he comes at the rapture, right? It says we rise in the air to meet him. Oh, would it be today? And we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? I don't think anybody knows. Rise to meet him in the air. And then the tribulation period starts. Amen? All hell breaks loose on the earth. You know, I ask people today, can you imagine if the restraining force, which is the church, by the way, where's the Holy Spirit dwell? Here. Where's the church dwell? In the world? All hell breaks out when the restrainer's taken out. And during that period of time, there's those by faith that come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So those resurrection saints have to be raised. Amen. Then the Lord comes back from heaven during the millennial reign. And during that millennial reign, he reigns here on earth. There are mortals and there are immortals. Wow, I can't even picture that in my mind. So those immortals who remain faithful and follow Christ, they have to have a resurrection. Amen? That's 6. What's 7, friends? The judgment. The white throne judgment for all those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The completeness. 7 stages of the resurrection. 28th verse says again, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. And we should all be able to say this, shouldn't we? Let's not seek our own will in anything. But what? He says, I seek the will of the Father which has sent me. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, we are always amazed when we stop and we look into your word and we see the truth just break forth. But Father, we stand in awe of you, for you're the only awesome thing there is. I know, Lord, that so many today use that word awesome, but there's only one thing to stand in awe, and that is you and your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, this morning as we break the bread of life, as we worship you in word today, Father, let us forget about the cares of the world. Let's forget about that roast that may be in the oven or where we're going to eat afterwards or whatever problems we have facing us here. Let us just be focused upon your word and allow your Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us into all truth. Father, we're gathered in Jesus' name, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Chapter 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection. You love this. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, I always got these stories, I guess you've noticed, but over the years you read stories, and I read a story about a young Christian girl who was in her about 15 years old, and she was brought home from the hospital and was terminally ill. The doctor came to the house to visit and check her up on her, and went into the bedroom and gave her a checkup and went back out into the hall and told Mommy and Daddy. She's seen her best days. This little Christian girl yelled out the door, "I know my best days are yet to come." Because there's going to be a graduation day. We're going to pass from life into life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says to be what? Absent from the body is to be where? As a believer, to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord. Chapter 11 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Have you ever seen a place in Scripture where Jesus was present and anybody died? The Bible says he can't deny himself. He loves his own. People that are sick, you know, they would bring all the sick to him, and what would happen? He would heal them. You know, we see the healing ministry on the TV, and I'm not saying God don't heal. But in the book of Acts, it says when the apostles were in the healing business, it says all, little word all that they brought to him were healed. You ever seen that? You ever seen a coliseum full of sick people and they all got healed? Why? Because God's sovereign. And he does as he pleases. We all need to come to a place and accept that in our lives, that God is in control. He has us all here for a purpose. Some years ago I went to, his gentleman Tom Crooks, he's passed on, gone home to be with the Lord. Now he was my mentor, I guess you would say, my spiritual daddy in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I was young in the faith, and he asked me to teach his Sunday school class. I had about 60 adults in it, young adults. And I went, "Oh, man, I can't do this." He said, "Well, meet me up at the church, and I'll give you some material you can study during the week." So I show up at the church, you know, young in the faith, and his secretary is in there, and she tells me this story as I'm waiting for Tom to show up. He was a calculus professor at Diablo Valley College. As I'm waiting, she says, "One day, I went to get out of bed, and I was in my mid-30s, and I couldn't get up. I mean, I couldn't literally stand on my feet. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I was frozen bed. I couldn't turn. I couldn't do nothing." I said, "Well, what'd you do?" She said, "Well, they took me to doctor after doctor, x-ray after x-ray, specialist after specialist." She said, "One night I laid down in my bed. As I began my prayers, I said, 'God, if this is what you've chosen for me, so be it. Because I know through it you're going to glorify yourself in it.'" She said, "The next morning I woke up and got out of bed like I'd never been ill." Sometimes we just have to surrender and recognize God's working through us a purpose. And it's all for His glory. It's all to bring glory to His name. Look at this fourth verse. It says, "When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.'" Can you imagine standing by and they say, "What?" Someone gets sick. You know, this lady told me at the hospital one time, she said to me, she says, "You know, I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would heal my husband." She says, And then he died. And I thought, God, you didn't heal him. And then she said, I realized, oh, but he did. He got a perfect healing. He left time and went into eternity and never suffered any pain or sickness ever again. Amen. So he answered the prayer. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Can you say that about yourself? Does Jesus love you? You know, the book of Romans says, know you not, right, that the love of God leads you to repentance. We hear all these testimonies about so-and-so that got caught up in drugs or whatever, right? God delivered them. It was his love that did it. The love of God leads you to repentance. Even as a believer, repentance is for believers too, isn't it? We're going this way. We should be going this way. He turns us around, gets us going back on the straight and narrow. Why? Remember the scripture? He began a good work in you. He'll perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is working in us for his glory. The sixth verse says, when Jesus had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode, or he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walks in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is what? No light in him. You ever been there? You ever been stumbling around in the darkness trying to figure something out instead of getting on your face and going to God and say, break that light forth. Help me make that decision. And you stumble through life. There's no light. You need the light of Jesus Christ in your life. You need to follow him who is the light of the world. There's going to be a time come when that light's not here. Jesus said in the 9th chapter that he's the light of the world, right? And then he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Is he here today? Where is he? He isn't out floating around out there, is he? Where is he? Right here. You are the light of the world because you have Jesus in you. If people don't see Jesus in you during the week, I had a friend of mine years ago when I was pastoring at Philo. Worked out long in burgers, and this guy he weaved baskets next to came into work on Monday morning and told him, he says, you'll never believe what happened to me yesterday. I got saved. He says, you got saved? He said, yeah. He says, I was to church with this friend of mine Sunday, and God saved me. And I'm so excited to tell everybody about it. I want to tell you. He says, well, I'm a Christian. He says, how can you be a Christian? He says, I've worked next to you for 12 years, and you've never once said anything to me about Jesus. Why? Why? You're the light. People say, well, I don't have the gift of witnessing. Everybody's got it. Is there anyone here that's not a Christian? Don't have it? Best witness you have is your testimony. This is how I was, you know, like the blind man. I was blind and now I see. That's all I know. What's your testimony? Write it down. Be ready to give it. I believe it was in Peter. It said, be ready always what? With the answer to the man that asked you for what? The hope that lies within you. Why are you so different than I am and the rest of the people? Well, I used to get blessed because I worked construction with all, and we were all foul-mouthed, and I got right with the Lord during that period of time. I'd be working out on a job, and someone would come to me, and they'd say, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I'd say, well, how do you know that? And they'd say, because you're different than them guys you work with. You know what that gave me an opportunity to do? Shine the light. Shine the light. Why don't men like the light? Bible tells you, Jesus said himself. Why? Because it reproves them of sin. Proves them of sin. 11th verse says, these things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Just to pause for a second, you know that word death in the Bible has a one-word meaning. It means separation. There is no death. There is no dying and going into the ground and that's it, right? Well, I'm down here now. No. Then we read there's going to be a resurrection of everyone, isn't there? There's going to be a resurrection unto damnation. Paul told us what? There is therefore no condemnation for those that are where? In Christ Jesus. They're in Christ. Separation means either you're separated unto eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you're separated unto hell, a place of darkness and torment for all of eternity. Now, preacher, I think God is love and God wouldn't do anything like that. Well, he better tell the people in Sodom and Gomorrah that he's sorry. He better tell the people that were left behind on the flood when he took the eight on the ark. God is a holy God, and he finds more glory in exposing our sins than in anything. Why? Because when he exposed our sins, we fall on our face before him and we bring glory to his name. Glory to his names. So he's not talking about just going to sleep. He's telling them Lazarus had died. The 14th verse said, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Ooh. You ever hear Jesus say something like that? And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. What would have happened if Jesus had been there and Lazarus laying in the bed sick? He said, rise, Lazarus, you're well. But he said, I have to stay here because the Father's ordained it so he can die. So he can die so it'll bring glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, they're not getting it, are they? Sometimes I say, why are they walking with Jesus? Why can't they get it? Well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And then I say, Henry, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The 17th verse says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Why 4 days, friends? After the third day, the body begins to what? Decay. Decay. I think about in the Old Testament when them Baal worshipers and Elijah, right? Remember that story? And Baal worshipers out there worshiping. And so they made a challenge. You call your God out of heaven. They took this great big pile of firewood and piled up huge. And dug a trough around it and filled it full of water, right? The only way that waterlogged wood could be set on fire would be from the God of heaven. And the Baal worships were out there chanting and doing their thing. And Elijah's over there mocking them and laughing at them. And he stepped forward and called to God out of heaven. And it says that it burned up everything. That's what we need today. We need men and women today that believe God can do anything. He can do anything. That neighbor of yours is dying, going to hell, that smokes pot or crack or whatever he's doing, God can save that person and transform their life and make a new creation out of them. Do you believe that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything he does is for his glory and his honor. I had a friend of mine, Don Holcomb, when I was in the prison ministry in California. One Saturday night, I went down to teach Bible study at the Contra Costa County Jail, and they would give you these rooms. It was probably about half as big as a stage, and it was a visiting room, and they had this big table in there. And I'd go up there, and there might be four, six people in that room wanting Bible study, and I'd go up there, and it was standing room only. That place was packed. And here's this guy, Don Holcomb, in there. And he's, "Hey, preacher, I brought all these guys for you." I said, "Where'd you find them out?" And he says, "Out in the highways and the byways out here." He says, "When they come in here, I tell them about Jesus." Well, Don had been in prison up at Susansville, doing time for drug dealing. He told me he used to deal heroin, but he didn't use it. Then he got to using it. Told me he put about $2 million worth of heroin through his body. So it's a wonder I'm alive. He said, "One Sunday morning I was in lockdown and they had this little 13-inch TV on a stool outside my cell so I wouldn't go stare crazy," he said, "I guess. And the deputy left and he turned the station on to a Christian station and here's this preacher preaching there. And you know what the preacher was preaching about? People that are hooked on drugs and how God can deliver them." He says, "I got down on my knees and I said, 'God, if you deliver me from these drugs today, I'll serve you all the days of my life.'" He said he got up off his knees and he was a new creation in Christ Jesus, and God tested him immediately because the guy that brought his meal to him had his syringe on there with his fix, because you could get as much dope as you wanted in the prison, right? And he said, "Take that back. I don't need that anymore. God has delivered me from heroin." You believe that? Wednesday went down to the infirmary because they do a methadone treatment on you because they're weeding you off of heroin. So they have to take a blood test to test to trace morphine. And he went down to the infirmary and they took his blood test and there was no trace morphine in his body anywhere. And he's praising God. And they said, "What happened?" He said, "Jesus. Jesus." He says, "Then I thought God did that for me," and I'm like, "No, God don't do anything for one reason." He says, "Pretty soon you seen deputies getting saved. You saw people in the infirmary getting saved. You saw more prisoners getting saved. It was all for his glory so that people would see the work of God in my life." Last time I saw Don, he was preaching in the prisons in the San Francisco Bay Area, after he'd gotten out of jail and done his time. That's what God can do. I'd say Don had a resurrection, wouldn't you? Of a sort. Not the kind we're looking forward to, though. Speaking of the resurrection, I always get sidetracked. I hope you just bear with me. Why do you think the disciples could go out and the apostles and be scourged and beaten and spit on, fed to the lions? They could do that because they believed in the resurrection. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Just get a quick trip home? Or should you say the best thing? It's going to get a quick trip home. So they worked and worked and worked. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, this is what it said. They didn't, when they get ready to go out and witness, they didn't say, "Oh Lord, protect me from them evildoers out there." You know what they prayed? "God, give us the boldness." Wow, that's heavy, isn't it? "Give us the boldness to go out and proclaim Jesus." They knew what the outcome was going to be. We haven't experienced any of it, but it's on its way, friends. Read the news. I don't like to, but read the news. The church in America is getting hammered constantly. It's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand? 20th verse says, and Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha believed in the resurrection. You can tell. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And there was two groups of thought. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Two schools of thought. What say you? What say you? She says, I know he's going to rise again in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am, this is big, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My friends, Jesus never came into this world to make any bad person good. He came to make a bunch of dead people live. Because we're dead in trespasses and sin, and that's a finality. We are separated from God in death, and the only way we can come to Him is through Jesus. And the only way we can come to Jesus said, is if the Father gives it to you to come. Ooh. Wow. That's what Jesus said. I'm a product of the love of God, and that God worked in my heart an understanding so I could believe. I did nothing to earn it, deserve it. But fortunately for me, I was raised in a Christian home, and I was drugged to church every Sunday, and I heard the gospel. But I came to a place when I was 13 years old, I had to say yes to Jesus and no to the world. And turn my back on it. Verse 26 says, Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the question is, believest thou this? Do you believe it? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. There was a movie out some years ago called Peter and Paul. It was on TV. Anybody ever saw that? And it showed them sitting around us like a campfire at night. I like kind of the way they did it. And Jesus is sitting over there kind of by himself, and all the disciples are sitting there, and they're saying, what are people talking about Jesus? Said, well, some say that he's John the Baptist resurrected, and some believe that he's Elijah, and so on and so forth. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, who do you say I am? What did Peter say? I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Now how'd Peter know that? Well, Jesus tells him. He says, man didn't tell you that. But my Father. How'd you know? Same way. The Father convinces us and tells us, follow Jesus. He's your Savior. 28th verse says, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. You ever notice if you, just in passing, when you read the Bible and you look at Mary and you look at Martha, Martha's busy, always doing stuff. Always doing stuff. She actually told Jesus, get Mary, come help me. He says, Mary's doing her very best, because Mary was where? Where do you find Mary at? At his feet. Always at his feet. She's doing what? Absorbing everything he's teaching. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Huh? 31st verse says, the Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her, and they saw Mary, that she rose hastily and went out, following her. She goeth unto the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down on his at his feet unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Oh, they saw him heal, but they hadn't seen the resurrection yet, have they? They had seen the healing power. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come see. And it says Jesus wept. So if you weep, don't worry about that, friends, because you're in good company. Jesus wept too. You know what I think he was weeping over? Some people think he was weeping over the lack of faith. I think he was weeping over his creation. It wasn't made to be this way. It wasn't made to be this way. People weren't supposed to die, but they had to reject us, and we're holy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We're holy. We're set apart. And they have to be punished. We promised it. I always tell people, you raise your kids in the way they ought to go, and they hear the word all their life, and then they come to a place where they can reject it. Not receive it, reject it. They've heard it. No, I don't want no part of that, Mom. I don't want no part of that, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. I've heard it all my life. Verse 36 says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Oh, friends, that's how he thinks about us. You know, we're caught up in sin as a believer. What do you think he does? Does he grieve? Sure he does. Says the Holy Spirit grieves. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay in front of it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time, I like the King James, it says, the Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He's beginning to corrupt. You don't want to open that place up. Miracles got to take place. Amen. Miracles got to take place. This is shadowing and foreseeing what? His own resurrection. I lived in a community in Canton, and the Catholics and the Jews used to argue with one another all the time. I went to grade school, and, you killed the Jews. You're the one that nailed him to the cross, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus said what? No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Wow. We sang it. He came. He laid his life down. He died in our place, but he wouldn't stay in that grave. You can't hold him because he had the power to raise again. All other religious leaders that ever walked the face of the earth, where are they, friends? Where's our dear Muhammad? Buried. Dead. Where's Buddha? Where's Jim Jones? Where are they? They're buried. They're dead. They'll never see this world again or our blessed world to come. Amen and praise God. Amen and praise God. 39 says, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister, said that by this time it stinks. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou should see what? The glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, listen to this prayer. You're going to love this prayer. Lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He don't have to worry about the Father hearing him, does he? He did that for their sakes. So they could see. So they could have their eyes open. So they could believe. And when he thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus stood up and came out of that grave with all those clothes, grave clothes wrapped around him. You know, when I came to Jesus Christ, I had grave clothes on me because I was dead in trespasses and sin. Amen? We all were in our grave clothes because he didn't come to make us good. He came to make us live. We were dead in sin. And it took a miracle to transform us. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot, the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus said, Satan, let him go. Loose him. How about you? When you come to Jesus Christ, the devil's got no hold on you no more. The devil set you free. And Jesus says, when you're set free, how free are you? Free indeed, amen. You're set free. Loose him. And the grave clothes came off. And Lazarus came alive. Do you think his feet were kicking and dancing? I do. Oh, we're not supposed to dance in church, are we? They better tell David that, because David did dance. Turn over with me to the 12th chapter, and that's where we're going to close at. I want to show you a beautiful picture here. A picture of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now you believe this, don't you? The Holy Spirit didn't put one little dot or tittle in the Bible that wasn't placed there for a reason, and for edification. Look here. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. There's Lazarus sitting there at this table, and it's reminding you he'd been dead. Whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Barnabas served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now you say, preacher, where are you going with that? I'm going to tell you what. One day I'm going to have a resurrection, and one day I'm going to sit down at that same table with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I can be like Lazarus. Only be Henry, right? Who was raised from the dead, sitting at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Are you looking forward to that day? Huh? Holy Spirit puts nothing in Scripture without a purpose, but for edification. So the question is always every Sunday, believest thou this? Do you believe? Can you say, like Peter, when he looked Jesus in the eye, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus can say, man has not told you this, but the Father. Can you say that today? Let us close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we are just amazed when we look at your word. We see how divinely you put it together. Father, I had a man tell me one time that I was ignorant because I took one book, studied it over and over and over again so that I could make that one book prove itself. I told him, well, you don't know too much about the Bible, Lord. I told him it's 66 books. It's a library. It's been written over 1,400 years, span by about 40 authors, and they all agree with one another because it's divinely authored from heaven. And Father, this morning I pray that as your word has gone out in the sanctuary today, that your Holy Spirit has touched hearts and minds. And if there's one here today that's never trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as we say, believest thou this? They say, yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus came into this world to die for a poor sinner like me. I believe that you raised him from the dead that I might have life eternally and forever with him. Father, this is a glorious day, and your word said this is a day you have made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. But your word also says today is the day of salvation. Let no one pass it by. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all stand with me this morning. The question is what? Do you believe this? You know, I pastored over at Victory Baptist in St. Clairsville for 4 years. The Methodist Church over there called in this young, fire-breathing pastor. I didn't figure he'd last a week. First Sunday, he told his congregation, I don't care if you've been a member of this church for 35 years, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. I went, whoa, boy's in trouble. Right? Well, do you know him? I mean, do you have a relationship with him? When you wake in the morning, do you say, Lord, I don't know what you have prepared for me today, but glorify yourself in me. You know, the amazing thing is we're just human. We've got that human nature yet, don't we? He gave us a new nature. Didn't he give us a new nature? Our new nature is we want to serve him and love him. But somewhere throughout the day, our old nature rises its head and we sin. We go to our face and we say, God, oh, forgive me for my sin, like David. You know, David was a broken man. Broken man. Where are you at today? Do you wake in the morning wanting to serve him? You know, Apostle Paul wrestled with it. He said, the things that I do, that I desire to do, I do not. The things that I do not, I do. He wrestled with it. But then he went over to the 8th chapter and he said, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And before that he said, who is going to, oh wretched man that I am, who is going to free me from this sin? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. He went into the 8th chapter to talk about spirit-filled living. The closest we ever get to Jesus in this life, now listen to me, I believe this, is when we think it here and we confess it here. Oh, Henry, you're going to sin. You know, I worked at Walmart. There's a lot of good-looking women come through Walmart. Amen? I know what's in me. And I'd see them coming, you know what I'd say? Lord, be the turner of my heart and the turner of my head. That's as close as we ever get. The closest we ever get to him. Thinking it and confessing it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there one person here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, has never confessed him as Lord and Savior? I want all your heads bowed and every eye closed. Will you just slip your hand up and I'll pray with you? Just one. Slip your hand up and I'll pray with you. Maybe there's one here today that's backslidden and not walking with Jesus the way they know they should be. Maybe they're not leaning on his everlasting arms. Will you slip your hand up and I'll pray with you? I used to tell young people all the time, the guy sitting next to you, don't feel embarrassed, because the gal or the gal sitting next to you is thinking the same thing. If I slip my hand up or I go forward, they'll ridicule me. Now as we close, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, just say, Father, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize I need a Savior. And I recognize that Jesus is that Savior. And that He came into the world, that He died just for me. Put your name in there, just for me. Oh, but you didn't allow Him to stay in that grave. You raised Him from the dead that I have the hope of life, eternal life, forever. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a backslidden state. I've been there. I run 12 years hard from Jesus, but I just kept running into Him. Father, this morning, if there's one here today that's backslidden and not walking with You, I ask You in Jesus' name, fill them with Your presence as we pray at this very moment. Comfort them and let them know that He who began a good work in them will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they might say, I don't have faith. But Your word says what? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now, I live by the faith. That's where our faith comes from, friend. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Glorify Yourself in our lives today and throughout our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, he said what? Paul said, one thing he cared about knowing. To know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul said this. He said, one day I'm going to be raised and you're going to be raised. Amen. Paul said, the same Spirit, powerful statement, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? You don't have to live in sin. You got power. You've been loosed. The grave clothes have been taken off, and you've been set free.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for the message that You've given us through Your servant. I just ask that You would be with us and lead us, guide us, and protect us in all that we do. Keep us safe until we return into Your house. All this I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.